I'm joined by a very special guest we have with us in the studio, Izzy Gildon. Please give it up for Izzy Gildon. All right.
All you people back home, give it up. Clap your hands. Ben, thank you so much for having me. This is such an honor.
Yes.
I'm so proud of you for starting a podcast.
Thank you.
That seems like a really scary thing to take on.
It's terrifying.
And you're doing it.
I'm doing it. I'm slightly jealous. Okay.
But also very proud.
Thank you. Well, you know all this gear very well, so
yeah,
I will not feel at
Should
all.
Should we like nerd out on gear?
No, but I'm saying that like you, I will not feel intimidated at all if you launch your own podcast.
Oh, okay.
In the future, every person will have their own podcast with two listeners.
My only fear is that like there's so many podcasts. How like there's not enough time in the day for everybody listening to every podcast.
Right. I mean, You can't worry about everyone, you know? Yeah. You have to worry about your... Izzy's a singer-songwriter, a improv comic.
No.
I'm not allowed to say that. Okay, we're focusing on the
No,
singer.
You can say that, but like, yeah. I'm an improv
comic.
Student. I'm not
improv
an improv
student.
I'm not an improv comic.
Singer-songwriter.
I took a class.
took a class, yeah. Izzy is a, do you want to talk about your day job or that's not something you advertise?
Not really.
Not specifically. So you why don't you tell me what you identify as and we'll go with that.
Sure. I identify as somebody who tries to do things that make me scared and nervous so that I can sort of experience that on a deep level and live in it and figure out why does this make me scared and can I learn how to navigate that and feel through it and understand why it makes me do that and learn how to enjoy myself in those moments.
Okay. Yeah, that's very specific. That looks good on a dating profile.
Thanks.
Yeah.
So for example, performing music, right? Just the thought of that is like super anxiety inducing and like getting up on stage in front of people sounds terrifying. And I used to have really insane stage fright to the point where like I would throw up just at the thought of performing. And so when I first started performing or playing music, I was like, I'm going to do this. And I'm going to do it 100 times until I learn how to like not feel that way.
It's so interesting that you really are saying that you are, you're motivated by the fear of it more than anything else, because
yes.
I feel like I do not have a lot of stage fright. I mean, maybe I have like a fear of being judged, but that's normal. That's, you know, I totally don't believe in this phrase that the biggest fear in the world is public speaking. You know that line they say?
Right.
The biggest fear in the world is public speaking.
Well, that's just
the second to biggest fear is fear of death. Like, that is completely not true. If you look right now on social media, there's just thousands and thousands of people trying to be as public as they can.
Right.
And those are not people who want to die, though sometimes they are. So it's not true that everyone's afraid of public speaking. It's a myth. And I don't really even believe you that you're that afraid at this point. I mean, are you still terrified at this point?
Not really.
Right.
Not really. And improv has really like helped me feel comfortable on stage and performing and public speaking. But yeah, there were times like even after performing for a few years, like I do like Havdalah at these camping trips, right? And there was like this one camping trip that for some reason I was like so anxious, and the entire Shabbos I couldn't get out of my tent. I was like in my tent shivering, and like I couldn't eat, I couldn't be around people, but like I also didn't want to be by myself. So I was like going through this loop of like being in my tent, out of my tent. And like it was just Havdalah. I've done it like a million times. Like it doesn't matter.
My fear with Havdalah, because we both are in the musical Havdalah circuit.
Okay.
So you do hit that a little more consistently than I do. You've definitely clocked in more musical Havdalahs than I have, just based on your social media updates. But my fear is that like I'll forget a word or forget a phrase. Do you know the whole Hine Kel Yeshua Si by heart, or are you using a siddur?
I do know it by heart, but I like to have a siddur. Sometimes I don't, and I'll just say it by heart. But
Do you think there's ever been a time where you like skipped a pasuk and that nobody even realized?
For sure.
For sure, right?
For sure. But like also the, with the tune, right? It's hard to skip the part because yeah. I know that it goes around four times.
There's two tunes. You probably do the Karlbach tune, right? You go, Hine Kel Yeshua Si. Yeah. Because there is another one. No, that's not the Karlbach one. Hine. That's the Karlbach one.
So what's the
Hine? That's like the more right-wing yeshivish one. Hine Kel Yeshua.
So which one is Hine Kel Yeshua? Where's that from?
I think it's slightly more left-wing. I don't know. I don't know that it's like Debbie Friedman left-wing. For those who don't know about Debbie Friedman, do you know about Debbie Friedman?
No, but okay. I love how specific that is.
Yeah,
Debbie
so
Friedman.
this is a scandal in the Orthodox community that needs to be addressed, and I'm addressing it right now.
Address it.
Do you know that middle part of Abdallah? Nine, 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 mm-hmm. nine. Where's that from?
I have no idea.
It's from Debbie Friedman, who okay. is a legend in the Reform, and it might be conservative, but I think it's the Reform sleepaway day camp circuit. So this was a Jewish woman who was a legend in the Reform camps, sleepaway camps for Jewish kids. And she wrote many, many Jewish songs that we in the Orthodox community don't necessarily know because we're not really tuned in to Reform Jewish culture. But one song did make its way into Orthodoxy, and that's the 9999999999. Debbie Lynn Friedman was an American singer-songwriter. She's best known for her setting of Misha Berach. Okay, I don't know what that is. That could be the one. You're such a good singer. Okay, before I call her Reform, you're welcome. Oh, Debbie Freeman School of Sacred Music.
What?
Oh,
how
my
do I go
gosh.
There?
That's where we're going right
yeah,
now.
Supply.
Yeah, I'm trying to see how. Okay, they mentioned the Havdalah melody here. It's got a bunch of albums. Born in 1951, passed away in 2011. Did not live such a long life. Friedman was a feminist. Okay, so Izzy Gildin. Musical Havdalahs, music throughout the year, singer-songwriter.
Singer-songwriter, yeah.
You have some incredible songs. We've had conversations about your song. Ooh, I should have prepared the names of the songs, but I'll just cool. tell you what comes from the top
you
of my head.
You want a list?
Miles and Miles.
Okay.
Miles and Miles, away from here. No. Mm. We break out into song a lot in this podcast.
So these street lights and stop signs and miles and miles and miles away from you.
Which is a song about you, about your status as an immigrant.
Sure.
You
Let's
are,
go with that.
You are an immigrant. Undocumented immigrant.
I'm an illegal alien.
You're an illegal alien. I don't think we're allowed to use that term. And I was with my wife and other people, and she used that term, like undocumented immigrant. And I'm like, you're just saying that because there's like liberal people around. Like, you don't really use that term. Yeah.
So actually, I'm a dual citizen.
Oh, that's how he did it.
Yes, that's how I did it.
Your mom's American?
My parents are both American. My parents are immigrants to Canada. Oh. But since I was born in Canada, I'm Canadian.
You didn't get stuck in Canada over COVID or anything like that?
No, I was.
Could have happened. Would have it happened or you're American, so it doesn't matter, right?
I
could do whatever you want.
I have a U.S. passport.
Okay, so a fake immigrant.
I have a social security number.
Right. And if you sign up for the Patreon, you can hear what it is.
Yeah.
So you are, but you are Canadian.
Yes.
Are you Canadian?
Yeah.
You're Canadian.
I'm Canadian.
You're Canadian.
I have a Canadian
vibe. Do you feel like a certain thing, like Americans, like it's not really your thing?
No.
No, you feel like you're also really American.
Yeah, but I don't feel like I'm a New Yorker. Mm-hmm. I've lived in New York for 6 years on my own. I was in Yeshiva, New York for 2 years. I've spent more time now in my life outside of Canada than in Canada. But I don't feel like a New Yorker. I feel like an American, but not a New Yorker.
And New York's kind of the only place you lived in the United States, right?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, I was in a dorm in Indiana for high school.
That must have been really exciting.
That was fun.
What, yeshiva?
Shiva of South Bend.
Yeah, we want to announce all the, especially for people who are doing their own thing, we want to name the yeshiva so parents can, many parents,
still around.
Many parents watch these videos, these podcasts, and they're looking for a good yeshiva for their yeshiva kid.
Out of town.
So last time I had Zach, and I was like, Zach, people want to be like you. Where do they go? He said, WITS. So today, our yeshiva of choice
is Yeshiva of South Bend. At the time, it was called the Rabbi Naftali Riff Yeshiva.
Oh, interesting. Yeshiva of South Bend may not exist, though.
I don't know if it still exists.
Right. Interesting.
I have no idea. My graduating class was 4 kids.
Ooh.
And I remember.
My first memory hearing about you was my friend Baruch
Schwartz.
And I think I've told you this story, but okay. I'll tell it to you again. My first memory of you was Baruch Schwartz discouraging me from pursuing a career in music.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, there's only one person I know who might be successful as a full-time musician, and that's Izzy Gildan. And even he doesn't have such a good chance. So if Izzy can't do it, like, you sure can't do it. You
well,
know?
First of all, he never told me that. I always thought he did not fuck with my shit at all. I always got the impression he was very unimpressed by everything I was doing. I love the guy. But that's so nice to hear that, like, well, he actually thought that I was pretty good.
Well, maybe he was just using it as leverage to, like, discourage me. You? He's like, Izzy maybe could. You for sure can't. You know? That was, like, his thing.
How long ago was that? That was probably before I was even doing
I hated
music.
You from when I heard that. I'm like, wait, I don't know who this guy is, but, like, Izzy could and I can't? Like, what's going on?
Oh, I'm so sorry that you hated me.
I did not hate you.
I didn't do anything to deserve
you
that.
You really did nothing. You did not. I did not hate you. But I did feel intimidated.
Really?
Intimidated. Because, I mean, think about that as an intro to someone's name. Like,
right.
There's a guy who is better than you. That's the end of the story, you know?
That's and so this was, funny. This Why was, would... I don't think that I the funny thing is, like, I saw you from, like, a very, because I was friends with, very close friends with Ashi Lax.
You were friends with Ashi Lax?
Yeah, we were in ZA together.
Oh my gosh, that's so, like, interesting.
I had seen, like, photos and videos of you from, like, a distance, and, like, you were just, like, this super good-looking blonde guy, like, playing piano. But, like, right. I never really interacted with you or had met you at the time, but I was, like... And I never even, like, heard any music or you play.
There was nothing out. There was nothing out. I was playing keyboard a little bit.
Wasn't there a band that you were in?
There was a band.
What was the name of the band? It was like Kugel or like Yapchik?
Kugel would have been a good name.
Was it Yapchik? Was that your band?
Our band, no, Yapchik was not us. That was someone else.
Okay.
The band that we had was called the Yingle Band.
Yes, the Yingle Band.
And I thought it was a great name because we were trying to say, like, oh, like, we're connecting to our inner child. I'm always, like, 5 years ahead of, like, now everyone is screaming about their inner child. I was promoting the inner child.
I knew Andrew Huberman since he had 100,000 subscribers.
Izzy was into Andrew Huberman when he was, like, working in a Starbucks.
When he was still just a professor at Stanford. Like,
yeah. And people were like, oh, Yingle Band, that's such a weird name. Like, you guys like kids?
That's such a cool name.
You guys like kids? Like, what's, like, weird?
I love that name.
And then I was like, you know what? Fine.
Wait, so who else was in this band?
Okay, so Baruch Schwartz,
okay,
who's very famous now in the world of lighting and production and design.
What's his company, Eagle?
Halo.
Halo?
You keep saying, like, competitors' names. What was the name of your band? The other band?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think leave the I'll announce it.
Wait, what's your name? L11?
Yeah. Let's talk about your journey into improv.
Cool.
What is improv?
What is improv? Improv is it's a live show basically where everything is made up on the spot. An improv group will go in front of a audience and ask for a suggestion. The audience will just shout a random word, and based off of that, they will go into scenes, they will act out scenes. It's supposed to be funny, it's supposed to be fun, it's supposed to be over the top, it's supposed to be crazy.
Now let me ask you, have you ever watched an improv set and enjoyed it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I love improv.
Because certain sports
right?
are just for the people doing the sport. So my question is it entertaining for me? You're doing a show today.
Yes, I'm doing a show today.
And am I invited to the show?
Yes.
And there's a good chance that if I show up to this show, I will laugh
Yes.
And I will enjoy watching you.
100%.
And how many other people?
I think there's seven or eight.
Seven or eight other people are getting on stage, kind of like we are.
Yeah.
And they have no idea what's coming, but they're selling tickets.
Yes.
I mean, that is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
We're selling tickets to nothing because we know that it's going to be something. It's going to be entertaining.
Exactly.
How long will the show be?
An hour.
Wow. Yeah. So you've enjoyed watching improv and you're like, let me do this myself.
Yeah,
what was that journey like?
So I love, first of all, I used to always love watching Whose Line Is It Anyway? That was like my idea of what improv should be. Like a bunch of these really crazy games, people who are like just like super talented, able to just think of insane things on the spot, just get into random characters and just be hilarious and do like when you see like Wayne Brady from Whose Line Is It Anyway do like a crazy song that he just made up on the spot based off of a suggestion from the host. Like I always thought like, wow, that's something that like is unattainable. Mm-hmm. I'll never be able to do that. And then I started getting into like the old like Amy Poehler and like Tina Fey and like Rachel Dratch from SNL. Like they were part of you know, The Second City and Upright Citizens Brigade. These are like improv, these Chicago.
I've been nodding, but so far I had Tina Fey. So, that was where you.
Okay,
where
cool.
I was like,
so
I know
there's
Tina Fey,
improv school called Second City in Chicago. That's sort of like where a lot of famous.
Legendary improv school.
That's where a lot of very famous comedians, Steve Carell, Stephen Colbert, Tina Fey, Amy Poehler, like a lot of these people came.
Stephen Colbert is not funny.
But he's a comedian.
Steve Carroll.
He's a famous comedian.
Steve Carroll. Are you into Woody Allen at all?
Not really.
So now I'm going to talk about Woody Allen.
Cool.
Woody Allen, who's completely innocent. We don't know that. Woody Allen, impressively, is now in his late 80s. He has made 50 movies. He made a movie a year for the past 50 years.
Wow.
With the exception of like one... Like I think COVID, he missed his like first year, and he's back on the train now. He plans to live till 100 because his mother lived till 100. So he's like, yeah, I have those genes. We don't even understand how important he is to the world of comedy. He invented the rom-com. So like Annie Hall is considered the first rom-com. So he used to stand up before he started making movies in his 30s. He started doing it in his 30s. So in his 20s, he was a stand-up comedian. And his style of comedy is like... And that was the beginning of stand-up comedy also, like 60s. It's like talking quietly into the microphone and like just, yeah, making fun of yourself, saying like funny things that happen to you, kind of always being the nebuch in your own stories. That's something that I think I would...
Like self-deprecating.
Self-deprecating. Very self-deprecating. I find that when I'm on stage doing music, I do self-deprecating stuff, and it's not the place for it. It's not the place to be self-deprecating. Yeah. Yeah. But I want to do that character. So that's what I would do. But I'm not doing stand-up. It's not happening.
I want to try it just because I feel like the risk is so high of bombing. And like... I've always been afraid of looking like a fucking idiot on stage.
Right.
So I just want to know, like, is it really that bad to look like a fucking idiot on stage?
It's probably not.
I would like to experience
Especially
that.
In comedy. It's like everyone knows, like there's people are going to bomb.
I want to bomb so hard that, like, I had this idea.
Just to not prepare?
To write a bunch of jokes that are very specifically, like, Jewish religious related jokes, but do it in front of a completely non-Jewish crowd so that no one understands it, and there's no way it could be successful.
There's a very forgiving stand-up comedy situation happening a block away from here.
Oh yeah,
this bar called. Oh, I'm not gonna say what it is. You know what? I don't want people to know exactly where I live. There's a bar not too far from here. It's a coffee shop during the day. It's a bar at night. They have stand-up two times a week, and it's very forgiving. Like people are just like, ha ha ha, like you're not funny, but I'm not either. So like we're all friends.
I feel like I would rather have a bunch of drunk people say you fucking suck than have that.
Yeah, I feel like that's what you want.
Instead of people like what's it called? Mercy laughing. Nebuch
yeah,
laughing.
And that's what it was. That's what it's so you don't want that.
I don't want that.
You want
no.
people to tell it to you straight.
Yeah, I wanted people to be like, you fucking suck.
Yeah, I'll tell you why I mean, because you're not really pursuing comedy. You're just pursuing self, like, humiliation. There's other ways to do that. Like, really pursuing comedy, from what I hear people say, it's like 10 years of open mics. Right. You know? So,
yeah, that's not realistic
for me. But, like, really going for it. Like, really believing that you could be the guy. We barely talked about your music. I want to talk about it a little bit. You have a song, Miles and Miles. You have a song, Closer. I know you have a song, like, it's a very sad and serious song, dedicated to your father.
Your Eyes.
Your Eyes.
Yeah.
It's actually interesting because Zach Adler, who was here, also lost his father. And I meant to talk to him about it, and I didn't. So I'll have to bring him back.
Cool.
Yeah.
Maybe, bring him back. We can bring both talk back about our
maybe
dead fathers.
Maybe you and Zach could come together and talk about your
dead
fathers.
Have the Dead Father Society.
Yeah. Dead fathers. Dead poet fathers.
Yeah.
Well, he was very young when he lost his father. He was, I think, 12 or something like that. How old were you when you lost your father?
Mid-20s.
Mid-20s. Oh, no, I don't mean to do that.
I wasn't 12.
Nothing.
Not valid.
It's like when a guy says he was abused by a woman, it's like, oh, okay.
Like Bobby Lee, I was abused by like a special needs every day for a year, for a summer, I mean.
Yeah. It just doesn't hit as hard. What am I supposed to do? These are involuntary feelings that I have. They're not voluntary, you know? Like, certain things, you know, that's the thing. People have different value structures, like dogs, you know? I don't mean to go from your father to
no,
dogs.
My father died. Yeah, let's talk about dogs. Tell me about dogs.
No, this friend of mine texted me. If had I seen a dog running around.
Oh, fuck. He lost his dog.
And it wasn't even his dog. It was someone else's dog. And he's like, I've been looking for it for hours. I'm like,
was it in this building?
From what I understand.
Yeah.
This was a stranger to him.
Okay.
In the park who couldn't find their dog. And he felt the calling to drop whatever he's doing and spend hours looking for this stranger's dog. Just like we would come together around the disappearance of a child.
Right.
And he actually texted me a couple hours later, even though I showed zero empathy. He's like, oh, don't worry. We found it.
You don't care that much about a pet dog.
Let's talk about your father.
Okay. Let's talk about my father. He was a hero to me.
Hero.
He was a full-time musician. Raised 11 kids on a musician salary.
Whoa.
Music teacher in a bunch of different schools. Led all the choirs in Toronto. Had an orchestra, an Afshinu orchestra in Toronto. Is one of the founders of the one in Toronto. He also had a one-man band. And
he was a one-man band.
He also had one.
It's time for the gig.
Get out! Get out! It's tonight, 5 o'clock. We told you to be there earlier.
Like Jesse Pinkman and the Breaking
Bad. Yeah, exactly. Or like, what's that movie? I don't remember the one. Whatever. I think it's Pulp Fiction, where like they pull the guy from like the
basement. Gimp. Go fetch the gimp.
Yeah,
like, what's a gimp?
Yeah. Oh my god, that was so creepy, that movie. That one part.
Yeah. By the way, I made my last episode 18 and under. 18 and, 18 and over. And every time I try to see how it's doing on YouTube, it asks me to sign in now to see it.
Oh, why'd you do that?
Because we have like profanity. Oh, got it. I know that kids watch my YouTube channel.
Interesting.
And I made a decision to put this on my YouTube channel.
So you don't select for kids?
No, this is not for kids. I mean, we're fetching the gimp here. Yeah, not at all. If you're watching this and you're a kid, I mean, probably watching a lot of other things you shouldn't watch. So this is not the worst.
Would you ever be a gimp?
I think the gimp was a gimp. I don't think that was a...
No, they made him a gimp.
Oh, they like mutilated him?
I think they just like found a guy.
Would I do it in the way that you're like doing improv to like face your fears?
Just be someone's gimp for a couple months? Yeah, would you?
I wanted to challenge myself and do something that I'm deathly afraid of. So I strapped on a suicide vest.
Love it.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. There's many ways to challenge yourself.
Anyways, my dad, he's dead.
11 siblings?
There's, yeah, has 10 anyone, siblings. There's
how,
11 of us.
How, 11 kids. How, what's the age difference between the oldest and your dad?
My oldest, I don't even know how old my oldest brother is.
My real question is, did anyone play in the orchestra with your father? Were there, was there
no,
any of that?
No, I'm
that
the club. Only one who really pursued music mm-hmm. out of all my siblings. All my brothers sing and have great voices. Our Shabbos tables were really great. Mm-hmm. We had like harmonies and stuff. My sisters all have really good voices.
Nice.
But I was the only one who like actually like learned music and started performing and gigging. My dad didn't teach us music. Like he didn't.
Do you think he would have wanted you to have a music career?
No, I think he very much did not want us to have a music career.
You think it was hard for him to pull it off?
Yeah, I think he thought it was hard for him to pull it off, didn't want us to pull it off. He also wanted people to like learn full time.
Oh, how's that going?
For me?
Anyone.
I must have disappointed him.
Is anyone doing it?
Yeah.
Okay, so this was a very from home.
Yeah, but my parents were Balchuvas though, so it's kind of
interesting. Yes.
So although it was very from, it was also interesting.
I don't think there's been a guest on this show yet whose parent was not a Bali Tshuva.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Bali Tshuva parents. It's something else.
Yeah.
Both your parents are Bali Tshuva?
Yeah.
Wow. So was part of your father... Oh, so was your father a professional musician before he became religious?
Yeah. But like not... He was in college. He went to the University of Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
And then was in a music program there. Was very like music nerdy. Like pictures of him, he had like long hair and a mustache.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And like studied cantorial. From my understanding, he studied cantorial singing, and that's sort of where he tapped into Judaism.
Wow.
And went to Israel. And
we should have him on the show. Somewhere.
I would love to. Do you have a time machine? Mine is broken.
Yeah. Wow, that is amazing. So he found Judaism through cantorial singing, and he and he became completely observant and so did your mother. Did they meet before or after?
They met in Israel.
Yeah, as it goes, as Isha Torah, Or Sameach.
Dad went to Or Sameach. My mom went to Neve.
Right
yeah
as one that does. Makes sense. These stories come up, but it's incredible. I mean, kids of Bali Tshuva do not get enough money from the government for what
we have to put up with.
Yeah, because
there's so much confusion.
It's never simple. Because just like the parents,
everything's a shaila. Every fucking thing is a shaila.
Oh, you mean like growing up in your house?
Everything's a shaila.
Right.
And then everything is like, let's.
You started off very from.
Started off very from.
Right.
But I never felt like I was like super from. Mm-hmm. Like I always felt a little bit different than.
Let me ask you a question, because this relates to me also, because on one hand, Bali Tshuva try to like say, okay, we're going to have this like holy home, literally like Mikdash Ma'at style, no TV, no anything. But there was also this longing in my parents' eyes for me to have some of the cultural understanding of like how the world really works. And like, they wanted me to like read like certain classics of literature and just not be like a totally closed off Lakewood kid. I didn't grow up in Lakewood, but I'm just giving an example because that's not what they were. You know, they maybe felt like I wouldn't be able to relate to them if I didn't know anything about the world, because they knew everything about the world. Was that a similar experience for you?
Not really.
No,
maybe
was super intense.
Maybe it might have been for my older siblings. I don't think so though, because no, I think like my mom would listen to like the music that she liked. Like she was very into like Sinatra and Dean Martin, like that type of thing.
As are you a little bit.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love like those crooners from the 50s.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I like when there's a gig that calls for that, I get so excited.
What's your go-to Sinatra to sing?
You make me feel so young. Da, 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 da. You make me feel like spring has sprung, and the time I see, blum, blum. I'm like missing the lyrics.
That's great.
But yeah, I love Frank Sinatra
your
songs.
Your voice has it's got all the range it could possibly have.
Thanks.
This is why someone who shall not be named called you a baritone. But he's totally wrong. You're not a baritone. You're a tenor. You're as real as the tenors get.
Thanks.
But you do happen to have the low notes as well.
Right. I don't think I can get as low as a baritone can get.
Yeah.
Also, I feel like I strain my voice by going low rather than by going high. So I guess I am a tenor. Right.
You're totally. And by the way, you talk high.
Do I?
Yes.
When you talk high?
When you get relaxed and you stop doing the whole, bro, I'm just like a cool singer.
Oh.
The regular higher tones come out.
Do you think I force my voice down?
I know many people who do.
To overcompensate? Men and women.
Yeah. I know a woman who feels like her voice is too high and I immediately, I'm like, what are you doing? That's not your voice.
So I've been in speech therapy about this, by the way.
About talking too low or too high?
About my vocal fry. I used to lose my voice at the end of gigs and I went to an ENT because I was very worried. And he shoved a little snake up my nose and down my throat and we watched a video of what my voice does and we found nodules on my vocal cords.
Right.
Thankfully they're very small ones and they're small ones. They're not concerning. It's not like I have like 75 of them
right.
that need surgery. It's like two small nodules, but it's preventing me from speaking in a healthy way. And so the solution for now is to see what would happen if I went to speech therapy. So I would go, and this is recent, like I'm going for my next consultation at the end of this month with my ENT. But
man,
I went to speech
full
therapy.
Of appointments.
Yeah. I went to speech therapy and I literally had to learn how to talk again. Like we did diaphragmatic breathing and I had to do these exercises where I was like, Hi, I am looking for the store.
That's Hi, not a baritone voice.
I am
voice.
Looking for the store
that
sells
voice.
Baby clothes.
That is the voice of a tenor.
Right. That's how I'm supposed to talk. But I think I think that over the years, in order to feel more manly,
sure,
I have developed this
Which
vocal
you're not
fry.
A man.
Thanks.
Right.
I think I just need to realize that I'm not a man.
You're not a man.
And I'm definitely not a manly man.
You're not a man. Who wants to be? I mean, have you seen Timothy Chalamet? Like Chalamet?
Yeah.
Who wants to be like that?
Right.
That's not popular.
Right.
The Rock is The Rock, and everyone else needs to be.
What about like Jason Statham?
He's bald.
Right.
If I was bald,
he's
I
also
would
short.
Go down. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
It's a whole different route. The bald route is it.
Should I shave my head to be
no,
Jason Statham?
No.
I used
no,
to think
no.
he was so fucking cool when I was younger.
It's a different path. Okay. You need to focus on staying true to yourself.
Okay. So, what is myself? What do you see?
I see.
You see more Timothy Chalamet in me than Jason Statham?
That's not either. You're actually, I would say, probably very much in the middle. Like most
Charlie
people
Puth?
Are.
Charlie Puthish?
Charlie Puthish. Have people told you look like Charlie Puth?
Yes.
Yeah, because you do. Your eyebrows are intact, though.
Are what?
Are intact. He's missing some of his eyebrow. Yeah.
I can. That's an easy fix. I can just take one razor.
I have a friend who is very into, it's more for women.
Mm-hmm.
There's a term called kibby. Kibby.
Kibby.
I think it's pronounced kibby. And it's about categorizing, it's more for women, but I think you could use it for men. Categorizing a woman. Faces and bodies into like 10 different categories and like that's your look.
It's like the Myers-Briggs of looks.
Of looks. Yeah, and that's how you should choose your fashion. There's the Jennifer Aniston and there's the Scarlett Johansson. It's all actresses because that's just faces right. that we know.
What's it based off of? Like face shape or
yeah,
like
mostly,
skin tone?
I think mostly, I think all of it, but it comes down to like 10 categories. I mean, look, if you make enough categories of anything,
right.
it'll seem like you covered everything.
What category are you? You're probably a Jennifer Aniston.
I'm a Jennifer Aniston. No,
sure.
No, she doesn't do it for men. I always try to figure that out for myself in terms of singing. Like, which voice type am I? And I still haven't really found it. Your voice, also, I don't know. You sound like Izzy Gildon.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna
I haven't
a
found
type.
It either because I like to sit in, like, the Adam Levine range a lot, but I also like to sit in the Frank Sinatra range a lot.
Right.
So I need to, like, I haven't defined it yet.
One thing I found for myself in terms of singing is that at first I was very excited that like I have all these high notes and then the type of gigs that I'm doing, if I sing high the whole time, first of all, I'll wear out. Mm-hmm. Second of all, you'll see me putting in effort and that's not necessarily what people want for the majority of the gig. They actually want it to feel super comfortable and super calm. So I've brought out a little bit more of that.
Who did you imitate when you first started like singing live?
First started singing live? Nobody.
Like you didn't have like a singer that you would just like imitate?
I mean, I love Paul McCartney.
Okay.
I think there's something very cute about the way he sings, something very effortless.
Mm-hmm.
But and he's got like a roundness to his voice that I really like. So you could say that.
Like you didn't have like, you know how like when you sing like a chuppa song, like a lot of people like do the like the Shweki imitation.
No, I can't. I'm not thinking about any. But when I'm thinking about Jewish music, I'm genuinely not thinking about another singer.
Interesting.
Is that 100% true?
Have you heard of Amos Lee?
Yeah, but I don't know who that is.
He's probably he was like very, very big in like the indie world back in like the early 2000s or like mid 2000s, 2010s. He has like a song. I am at ease in the arms of a woman. Anyways, he sings like up here, like super masky, so
like falsetto.
Yeah, but yeah. Like not exactly. It's like sort of like up here, like sort of like James Blunty.
Is he white?
I think he's like half black.
Right.
I'm not sure, but like he's white, but like doesn't really look so white. So I used to like I was a big fan of his voice, and that's like what I used to imitate. So like when I go like like when I'm up there, which
right,
I do a
right,
lot,
right.
That's all from him. Like I used to imitate.
Oh, and you do that for Jewish songs as well.
Yeah.
Right. Izzy Gildan, I know you have to go soon to your improv show.
Yes.
Which is pretty cool place to be going to. Yeah. After I did a podcast in the morning, and then I went to the improv show.
Fuck.
So you're a little excited, a little nervous.
Yeah. I don't know what to expect. It's definitely going to be a challenging one because I'm not really as prepared. But then again, isn't the whole point to just improvise?
I think. Where can people find you, and what are you plugging today?
Where can people find me? Izzy Gildan Music on Instagram. On Spotify, just Izzy Gildan. That's where most of my stuff is. I don't really use other platforms that much. I have a song coming out soon, Irara.
Yes,
a reggae song.
I heard this song. I heard it live.
Yeah,
and not live.
The song is mixed and mastered. I don't have a release date yet. I'm still deciding on whether or not I'm going to wait for the music video to be done before releasing it, or to release it at the same time.
Or to not release it. Yeah, just put it out. And the music video will be like a remind everyone to listen to it.
Right.
I did that with Asking for a Friend, and it was great.
Cool.
It's like, why not? Like, hey, now I also have a music video, you know?
Cool. It's like a second release.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
Double
put it out.
Cool.
Put it out.
So that's going to come out soon. I haven't decided on the release date. I don't have a manager, so I just have to like be self-motivated to do a lot of things, and sometimes I'm just not.
Sure.
So I would like to...
that's why you don't have a manager.
Right.
Right. You'd have to be motivated.
Yeah.
Right.
So... Izzy Gildan Music on Instagram, and izzygildan.com for the merch.
Yeah. Is there merch?
I have the Tefilasi sweater.
Oh, right. We didn't even talk about that song.
Little teddy bear with the tefillin.
You really coined the term alternative Jewish music.
I did?
Yeah. You used it for... I never heard anyone else use it. And I want to tell you, before you go to your alternative comedy show, that I don't think you need to use that term. I don't think anyone has a monopoly on what Jewish music is.
Right.
And I know you don't sound like Shweki's music, but you are Jewish music.
Thanks. I just like the word alternative.
Right.
Like I used to listen to like alt rock.
It sounds like you are warning people, like trigger warning, this is not your mainstream thing. And I don't think I think the mainstream people don't want to be mainstream anymore. I think we're in a world of everyone wants to be special today.
Right.
So you're special.
So that might be what you think of the word alternative. That's not what I think of it.
Right.
When I think alternative, I think of like, this is pop music and then this is alternative music. And like alternative is more like what I like.
Oh, okay. But alternative to what?
Alternative to standard pop. So like pop music would be what's on top 40, but I never listened to
it. But you can't declare yourself pop. No one gets to call themselves pop, meaning alternative pop is like I'm being realistic that this is not going to be on the radio, but it's technically radio ready.
Interesting. So I would say alternative pop is like the stuff that is on the radio because it's different.
Mm. So what's an alternative pop song?
Like I think of like Mumford and Sons, Lumineers, or like any of the like...
Was that on the radio at some point?
That was on the radio, but right. Like it was more alternative.
Do
it's not like...
people have radios now? It's over? I don't know.
Like the music that I listened to that was on the radio was on the channels that weren't Z100 or 92.3 sure. Now. Did those channels even exist still? I don't listen to the radio forever. But These were on like other channels. I don't even remember them anymore.
You take all my branding ideas with a grain of salt because I'm just talking out of my mouth.
Nice.
Yeah.
Ben, Izzy, it's been
Golden.
A pleasure.
It's been an absolute pleasure. I'm so happy that we didn't even begin to cover some of the topics I wanted to cover.
Okay.
Which means you'll come back
cool.
soon. Yeah? Okay.
Let's
amazing.
Do it.
Thank you so much. This has been Jewish. What's the name of my show?
Jewish Therapy on demand
with Ben Lerner.
With Ben Lerner. Why is it Jewish therapy, might I ask? Do you feel like this is a therapy session?
Yes.
Interesting. Okay.
You want to know for who?
For you.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Probably. Whoever feels like they got the therapy.
Cool. I feel like I wouldn't share what I share in therapy here.
Yeah. I mean, no one knows what therapy is. Like, everyone's therapy session is different, you know?
Right.
People are... Yeah.
But do you want to be my therapist?
No.
Oh,
I'm
okay.
not. I am not a therapist.
I appreciate that boundary.
Yeah.
I appreciate that boundary.
Yeah. That would make us not be friends anymore.
Really?
Just have to, yeah. Because we would be crossing the line.
Yeah.
I was friends with one of my therapists.
Oh,
good
no.
friends. And that's a story for another time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Be yeah, well,
your,
everyone.
Your therapist is somebody you really need to pay to talk about the things you would never talk about to anyone else.
Oh, we did it all. I paid him and we were friends. Yeah. It was a good
right,
time.
But can you trust that he's not going to share that with one of your other friends?
That's not even the issue. Like, I have journals I wrote in that I think I left them by friends' houses. Like, I don't know.
Oh, my God. I have a funny story about that.
Yeah. I'm sure, like,
I'll tell you a funny story about that off the air.
Off the air. Bye, everyone. Off the air. Okay, what was the story? No, say it on the air, but it'll be like off the air.
Yeah. Is this still recording?
It's still rolling. Do I have to stop recording?
No. Okay, fine.
Yeah. Off the air. We're done. The show's done.
The story is...